This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We're live. We are back. It's Wednesday morning. It means it's the Wednesday morning talk show. Tobin out in for Terry Tote, alongside with everybody's favorite uncle. Uncle,
I don't hear
Ralph.
You, I hear something else.
You hear something else? Well, we'll fix that during the break. We have Mickey Robinson and Macoupin County Sheriff Don Albright in for this week's show. And we'll be back. The Wednesday morning talk show is brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield.
And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men."
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
From the Plummer family and the staff of the Plummer Funeral Home, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
9:08, we're back live on the Wednesday morning talk show. Uncle Ralph Niehaus alongside. Uncle Ralph, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Good. Got your headphones back on? Working right?
I don't have nothing, but that's fine. I don't need it.
Okay. We are here with Mickey Robinson.
Is that who that is?
I think so. And we have Sheriff Don Albright, so that means you need to behave.
Yes, yes, we've got the sheriff here, and I don't know how the Macoupin County Jail is, but I don't care for the Montgomery County one, so I doubt if I'd like it either.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you do the crime, you got to do the time.
Yep.
Ain't that right, Sheriff?
Oh, that's correct. Uncle Ralph, we don't feed them very well over in Macoupin County.
Yeah.
We feed them pretty cheaply. We're on a budget, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
One egg instead of two eggs.
Low budget operation, yeah. So, well.
No, one peanut butter slice of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what it is.
You know,
or one slice of bologna sandwich for lunch.
I've had lots of bologna in my day, so I could probably get by on that.
That's a little liberal, a whole slice.
Yeah, the whole slice. That's on Christmas they do that,
it's
to
on
give
three
you the
day,
whole slice.
3 day old bread, too.
3 day old bread?
Yeah, because it only cost 20 cents a loaf at that time.
See, he's in a better mood. The Blues actually won a game last night, so Mickey's in a better mood. That was my Christmas present to you.
Is that
so? Merry Christmas.
That's the fight that you went to where a hockey game broke out?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Hockey
game.
That's right. And we are here to talk about the sheriff's office, talk about scams and holiday safety and all kinds of good stuff. We'll even talk about the Crime Stoppers throughout the program, too. So, Mickey, what do you want to start off with? You want to start off with Crime Stoppers first?
No, let's just talk about the Macoupin County Sheriff's Office. Don Albright, he's the one that's here. He's part of Crime Stoppers.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start off with the scams, because we already got two scams going today.
Okay, tell me a little bit about the scams.
Well, Tobin, you know, as always, there's people out there wanting to take hard-earned money away from our citizens, and they're very relentless about that. I mean, this comes day after day after day after day, hour after hour, and I can't stress enough for people to be vigilant and that there's no free meal out there. There's nothing free under the sun that anybody's going to call you, email you, or send you a letter that they're going to give you. But the big problem is that these scammers understand that every human being has a certain amount of personal greed, no matter how good a person you are. You always want to think that, you know, maybe this is a good one. Maybe somebody really does want to give me something. And I'm here to tell you that nobody wants to give you anything for free, unless it be a family member or a trusted person that you actually know.
Obviously, we are in the holiday season. What scam is the popular one going on right now?
You know, there's so many, but the recurring one is these scammers will either call you, email you, send you a letter wanting you to basically launder funds for them. Right there is the clue. You know, why would someone want you to handle their money? You know, I'll be a scammer. I'll call you, Tobin, mm-hmm. or I'll send you an email that I have this fantastic deal. Or perhaps you had something advertised on the radio, on the internet, on this Craigslist or something like that, even in the Farm Bureau paper. And I'll call you and say, well, you've got 500 bales of hay for sale. I'll give you your asking price, and I'll send you a check for the price of the hay plus the shipping cost. And then my shipper will contact you, and you cash that check, and you send him a check for the shipping cost. Well, first of all, the check that they send you is not going to be any good. And all the banks are wise to this. All the banks are up on this. Talk to your banker if you don't want to believe the police. But the bank won't cash these checks for you unless you have enough money in an account to cover that check if it's rubberized.
Because if you do cash that check, then and there's no money in that account, you're liable for...
You are liable, yeah. And banks usually put a hold on those checks if people insist on cashing them. And we do have people call on a weekly basis that want me to reinforce the fact that these are good, and I always tell them they're bad. They're no good. Throw it away. Don't get into a dialogue with these people. If they email you, don't even open the email. Just get rid of it, because you're opening yourself up to a lot of different avenues when you do that.
One of the scams, I recently had Litchfield Police Chief B.J. Wilkinson on, and the scam, and this is a pretty clever way of doing this. An individual received a phone call from someone in Canada, mm-hmm. or saying that we have your grandson in custody and we need X amount to get him out of jail. I mean, it's like, it's clever, though, but, I mean, that's an interesting twist.
That's been going on for some time, and we've had several people in my county victimized and in the area around, and a lot of times it's even more personal than that. Call a person. I'll go through the phone book and try and pick out a person I think that looks like an elderly name. You know, now, that's not always the case, but they'll call you in the middle of the night. Okay, any grandparent gets called in the middle of the night. They're groggy. It's a young man or a young woman on the phone. Mm-hmm. Grandma, this is your favorite grandson. Mm-hmm. Joey, is that you? Well, they've got the grandson's name right then and there. So, yes, it's me. So the grandparent has given them the information that they need to scam them. Okay, I'm in Canada, and I was up here with friends, and I got locked up by no fault of my own, and I need $1,000 wired to get me out of jail. Well, you know, first of all, jail's not a place you want to be, but you have to remember that they're fairly safe places. We don't lose too many people in jail. Not too many people die in jail. Not too many people get injured in jail. Right. So wait, verify. You know, and the reason they call in the middle of the night is because they expect to catch you off guard.
I.e. call the individual's parents and ask if Tommy's in Canada.
Yeah.
If someone falls for a scam and it goes through, let's say, international water, you can't get that back, can you?
There's very, very little that can be done to these out of the United States scams. You know, we are in contact with the FBI on a regular basis over these, and we keep a record of them. But when you're hooked by someone out of this country, it's tough.
Why is that?
You know, the international law and things like that don't carry over. Where do you prosecute it? And some of these countries, frankly, don't care. A lot of the things that will key you to this is if you get an email or a letter, there's certain words in the proper English dialect of England or South African countries and things like that. They spell words differently, and that's the key, that a lot of these are coming from a different country. You know, here a plow that you plow a field with is plow. Over there, it's plough in some cases. Mm-hmm. And some of their terminology, their phraseology, will clue it to you. But basically, don't waste the time reading these things. Wad them up, throw them away. don't answer any emails. You know, I can't stress that enough. I mean, it gets very redundant when people hear me speak, but I speak about this to groups around the county all the time, and people invariably, I ask how many people have been victimized or have received these, and almost everybody has received some sort of an attempt to be scammed.
Are seniors the primary target?
Not always. Not always.
Like if you have an individual that's freshly going into college, are they more prone to this as well? Or just graduating college?
They're not beyond being approached, but for some reason, you know, they're not as trusting. They're not as trusting. And, you know, you get into the elderly segment of the population, and, you know, their handshake was their bond. And that's how they think people are going to deal with them.
And, of course, one of the oldest scams that's been going on forever and ever and continues to go on and continues to be successful, I guess, because they keep doing it, that's home improvement scams, you know, roofs and remodeling. These fly-by-nighters come in and
absolutely.
Especially they prey on older people too, so.
Absolutely. You know, they'll come in and I had a gentleman it's been back in warm weather. He came into my office, and he had paid $3,600 for an asphalt job. And here's the key to that. When somebody knocks on your door, I have asphalt left over from a job,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to sell it to you cheap. Close the door, call the sheriff's office, call your local police, and we will get out there, and we will get those people out of the area. A lot of communities have solicitor's ordinances where you can't even come knock on somebody's door to solicit without registering. And I'm working on getting one of those from Macoupin County now so that my guys have some tools to get these people out of the county when they come in.
And I was going to mention that those are most townships or cities that, you know, if you're a new business, you have to at least register or say
exactly.
that you're going to be
exactly.
be in town on this.
Yeah, and they're taking valuable money that our local merchants may get from these people in good commerce that helps everybody.
And, of course, getting back to the remodeling scam in the summertime, of course, you don't see much of it now, but these guys coming around wanting to paint metal roofs. And first time you get a good hard rain, that paint they put on is all down on the ground.
Yeah.
But that's as old as the country itself, and it still continues to work. They still get the job done, people. Think, boy, that's cheap, you know.
Yeah, well, and a lot of farmers like to keep their farmstead looking nice, you know, and the bends get a little dull, and the barn roof gets a little dull, and like Uncle Ralph says, they'll squirt a little diluted aluminum paint on there, and it might last for a little while, but it's not really cheap in the long run.
Yeah, it's every time you in your business as sheriff, every time you think you've solved one, well, two more come along.
Exactly.
There's a lot of brilliant people out there coming up with these things every day.
These people don't work. They if they email 10,000 people a day, which is not unrealistic, if they blast an email out there, and they get 10%, that's 1,000 people. And if they get $1,000 from 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If they get $1,000 from 10 people, that's a lot of money.
And the majority of these emails, I think I saw a program not too long ago where they actually tracked, I don't know how they did it, an email that was sent by
mm-hmm.
a scammer, and it was a guy from living in a single-bedroom apartment in Canada. I mean, are these
yeah.
all coming out of country?
We had a scam a couple years ago where an individual was selling some things over the internet, and I actually sent one of my detectives to New York City with a postal inspector, and they did file some charges on this individual, but he was a rare bird that he was within the United States that we could get our hands on him.
I saw an article in a paper a while back where a guy was scamming people, and they couldn't catch him, and they finally caught him, and he was using phone booths. He'd just go to a public phone booth and call a few numbers, you know, and then he'd move to another one.
A few years ago, I had, when I still worked for the city police, I had an individual that scammed an elderly lady. He knocked on her door, say your front steps have some chips in them, and I can fix that for you know, $150, and it'll look great, you know. Well, here's the next hook. It's never what they tell you it's going to be in the first place if you do agree. They usually double it. Mm-hmm. So he gets done. What he did, he mixed up a little cement with some water, or mostly sand, I guess, and took a wallpaper brush and brushed your steps. And when he got finished, well, it's not $125, it's $250. And, of course, being an honest lady, she wrote him a check. He runs right to the local bank, cashes the check. The next day it rained, it washed it all off. She tells her son, they report it to me. Fortunately, the gentleman was on video at the bank, and he did show his proper driver's license, but he hadn't lived there for forever. And I was the local detective at the time, and I went out and did some calls and tracked it down and found a family member who told me that they were living in a trailer park in Granite City, transient trailer park with campers. And I went down there, and I sat on the place. I went and got a warrant for him through Macoupin County Courts. I sat on the place almost all day. I drove through a couple times, and there was a lot of those types in there, and they spotted me right away. And when the gentleman drove in that day, I zoomed in from across the street in my squad car, mm-hmm. and there were people ran out, about three or four trailers, were like, get out of here, get out of here. The police are looking for you, you know. But I was able to arrest him and, you know, move on with the case.
If someone is committing a scam in the U.S., what type of charges could be had? I mean, does it vary from scenario to scenario?
Certainly there could be some federal charges if they do mail fraud, wire fraud. There can be local charges of theft, fraud, any kind of deceptive theft charges. And, you know, theft over so many dollars is a felony, under so many dollars is a misdemeanor. And I can assure you these people aren't going to fool around with misdemeanor amounts. Most of them, if we could prosecute them, would be a felony.
It's an age-old scheme and scam or whatever you want to call it, and I'm sure it's going to continue. You continue to arrest people, but there's always another comes along. And I guess, to be right blunt, every time one of them comes along, there's another sucker comes along to help them out.
Yeah, it's a sad story. But, you know, people are listening, and we have a lot more people that come in. They'll bring me these letters, say, Sheriff, here's another one for your file, you know. And I thank them for not falling victim. But we've got a lot of other things going on out there. We've got a lot of good things going on in the county. We've got, you know, 50,000 residents in Macoupin County, and we've got a lot of good people, and we try to protect them. But one other thing I'd like to touch on while we're here today is the scrap iron and thefts and things like that. Because there again, Macoupin County is 864 square miles, mostly rural, and there's a lot of farmers out there that have remote sites where they store equipment. And they might not see their tractor for 3 months or their combine for 6 months. And when they go to start it up, the radiator's gone because they're made out of brass. And a brass radiator out of a combine or a tractor probably bring $100 plus.
Wow.
And they'll do thousands of dollars worth of damage to extract this radiator out of there. And then, of course, you know, farmers are on a timeline. They put their machinery away in good shape, and they go get it, and it's torn apart.
Unusable.
Yeah.
Are you surprised with the economy and everyone? I mean, everyone's cutting back and watching their budgets a little bit more closely now than probably what they've had in a long time. Are you surprised more scams haven't come out of the woodwork?
No, not really. You know, there's not a lot of new scams out there under the sun. There's just different variations of the same old ones. And there's always the same core of people out there doing the same thing. You know, just they put a little different twist on it to try to hook somebody.
One of the big tip-offs on home repairs and stuff like that, if someone comes and knocks on your door, it's common sense if you deal with local people that, you know, they're not going to be there right that minute. But these people, when they come, they're ready to start on your job just the minute you give them a check.
Yes. As Uncle Ralph says, most of the time their crew is a quarter mile down the road waiting for them to get the signal to zoom in and do this. And the asphalt job we had done last summer, the gentleman came in with his son to talk to me. The gentleman was in his 80s, and his son had gotten the check stopped. And unbelievably, the scammer had not cashed the check yet, and it was the next day. I couldn't believe it. and he had a phone number. Well, I called a reputable asphalter and asked him what the cost would be, and it was about half what he charged him. And I actually called the unreputable asphalter on the phone, and I told him that the gentleman was in my office, and he said, "Well, what can I do?" And I said, "You overcharged this man, and you know, we're going to seek charges because you know it's theft." He says, "Well, I'll come right over and give him his money back," which he did. He gave him his money back, and we didn't pursue charges in that case because that would have tied the whole system up for a long time, and it had been months before the gentleman got his money back, if he ever got it back.
I will say this, doing the news down the hall, I have read the weirdest stories this year. East St. Louis recently had a problem where, you know, when things are getting bad when they start stealing manhole covers and selling that for metal or for the steel and that. I mean, it's just crazy out there.
And, of course, now that metals... stealing metals or junk, whatever you want to call it, is a hot item because of the price of the material.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, copper is around $3 a pound. Brass is $1.50 up. You know, I had a law that I sponsored through the Illinois Sheriff's Association a couple of years ago that anytime you sell over $100 worth of those kinds of metals, you have to show your driver's license or some kind of valid form of ID.
That's just
that
smart.
That was passed through the legislature through the Illinois Sheriff's Association. But,
what?
You know,
what can some people, especially in the Macoupin County area, we're talking about Montgomery County also, but Macoupin County especially, we're so wide open there. What do we need out there for some of these people?
Well, we need our citizens to be our eyes and ears. And what they can do to help us and help themselves is the big thing for law enforcement is we care what color the car is, we care what model the car is, but we want that license number. That is what will track down the people. You know, and a description of the people in it is good too. But that license number is the top priority. If you can get a license number, write it down. I always tell people keep a pen and a paper in your car, keep a pen and a paper close to your door. When people come to your door, get that license number.
Or give your cell phone to a passenger in the vehicle if you're driving.
Exactly.
And take, because most of the cell phones now have cameras on it, you could easily take a picture.
Any way to identify those scammers' vehicles is how we're going to track them down.
And, of course, if you're a farmer, don't wait until springtime when you're ready to use that tractor or combine out of that shed that's down the road a quarter of a mile. Go down there once a week and just open the door and look in there and make sure everything's all right. It's a big help to you if something has happened that you know it, and other than the farmer saying, "Well, I don't know when this might have happened 3 months ago."
Yeah,
you know,
and that's exactly right. And that's what we tell people when we give our talks out in the community and when people call us, because and we get that a lot. Well, 3 months ago when I put it in a shed,
it was
okay. So that helped, you know, that piece of iron has been scrapped, salvaged, melted, and it's probably back in the bearings on the new disc they buy by the time they know it's stolen, you know. So that's a big thing. But there's some good things going on in the county also.
Why don't you tell us something, one of the new things you've got going?
You know, Macoupin County Sheriff's Office received an ILEAS grant several months ago for in-car computers. We've never had in-car computers before. And one of the reasons that we have not had them is because of the poor cellular service in areas of Macoupin County. And those computers work off of cellular signals. And we've got five of them now that were granted to us from ILEAS. And I have 15 squad cars, and they're available mounts in all those cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have those on the road now, and we can interact with all our databases. We can interact with the other police agencies. And our computer database at Macoupin County, we currently interact with Morgan County. So anything's going on in Morgan County, we can track people down, and we're going to expand that to the local police agencies within Macoupin County.
Well, see, I just learned something. I did not know that your office did not have computers in the squad cars. But they do now.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is
good news.
We're getting the bugs out of them right now, and after about the second week in January, all my squads out on the road will have them, as well as the detectives.
That's why the sheriff's office needs to have those other eyes out there,
right,
to help people and tell the sheriff something's going on over here. And with 848 miles there is in Macoupin County, it's one of the largest counties.
It's about the seventh largest in the state, landmass. And we also, these computers will be able to message back and forth with dispatch. So a lot of the criminals in the past have mobile scanners.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get a call, they say, hey, they're coming to get us, they'll bail out. But with this messaging system, we can slip up on them.
Well, I appreciate you, Sheriff, coming in and talking with us on the Wednesday morning talk show. But unfortunately, we're out of time. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wednesday morning talk show. Tobin out in for Terry Tote. Uncle Ralph Niehaus alongside Wednesday morning talk show is brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield.